girls out of sight, yeah. Said she loves me, yes, yes, she does. Gonna show her tonight, yeah.
Once you start, you have to let it get to that part.
I've been down an acoustic guitar off the wall from Cat Country.
Yeah, Candy actually went and grabbed the guitar.
Best guitar player in the world, self-taught.
I don't think that's the chord.
You don't know chords.
All right, let's get into the news. 6:11 here on News Radio 92.3. Happy Thursday. Hope you're having a good one. Hope it's a little better than it was, you know, four minutes ago. You're just ready for the stage right there. It's Canby County Commission meeting last week. Conversation going on about another aspect of the Perdido Key issues, and this one having to do with the number of signs to be allowed on perpendicular to the beachfront or perpendicular to the water property line divisions. This is Charles Krupnik from the Perdido Key Associates.
Reducing the number of signs identifying privately owned beaches from the three currently allowed is a concern for many Perdido Key beachfront property owners. A beach sign pretty much looks much the same, whether it's public or private. One sign 10 foot from the dune line, as indicated in the proposed ordinance, will be interpreted by many beachgoers as the boundary of private ownership, with the rest of the beach open to public use. If the one beach sign ordinance is adopted, I hope commissioners will support additional action to help maintain ownership rights. The county has been active putting up new or replacement beach safety signs. If three signs cannot be posted on private property, I ask the county to post appropriate information so the general public is aware of the private public beach boundaries.
So the Perdido Key Homeowners Association are frustrated because they want to be able to put up signs warning the public that you can't walk on this beach. Of course, the backdrop to all of this is the recent revelations that have, I would say, still not yet been fully validated, but are, you know, seem likely to be. Okay, the Commissioner Bogosh keeps advocating for that there's 75 foot of public access on a permanent easement along the water, and may well be. Okay, may well be. I think we're still in the maybe, but we're looking to verify anyway. So the idea that you would restrict the number of signs that people can put up on those properties on Perdido Key, well, you know, the people who are angry at the beach property owners for all of this time pretending like they own the whole beach when their view is, well, we think we get 75 feet of it. Every time that somebody comes up and says, well, we need to be able to put these signs up, they hear that in the context of, you know, man, you dillholes have been keeping us off the beach all this time. Shut up and go away. Like, I get where they're coming from, which is why, you know, people like Mike McCormick get up there and say,
gentlemen, I hope you were paying attention to those pictures that gentleman showed. That is an abomination. 63 years ago, I walked out on that beach for the first time. Not a sign anywhere. Before I die, I would like to see the number of signs cut down. I understand we can't get rid of all of them, but I would like to see them cut down. So I speak in support of this amendment.
So, Brad Farrow, the amendment would be to make it so you can only have the one on each of the, you know, east, basically the two property lines on the eastern and the western side of your property, that you can only have the one sign within 10 feet of the dune. Brad Farrow, who is on the other side and saying this is not adequate, we need to be able to have the signs.
I'm here to tell you the one sign close to the dunes is not adequate to stop people from trespassing on our beach. Our residential condo is right next to beach access too, and we require at least three signs to properly spaced to make people aware of our property line. Imagine people setting up a party or even a wedding or a special event in your backyard without your permission. I don't think you'd like it very much.
Yeah, which is an understandable reaction, right? You know, because the beach is their backyard, of course, and, you know, the beach doesn't come with built-in lines. You know, you don't have like a shock collar that everybody wears. You're like, oh, too close to their line. You know, like it doesn't work that way. So you put up a sign to tell people, hey, you can't come here. And since he lives next to access to a place where the public comes, it's understandable that a lot of that spills over. And, you know, if people are throwing a wedding on your backyard just because you don't happen to have a fence on your backyard, well, you know, you'd object to that too.
I think the signs are not an eyesore that some claim, and they are not as detrimental to wildlife and turtles as the visitors that leave holes, sand castles, sand sculptures in the sand. They also leave trash, chairs. Yesterday, I moved 2 6-foot tables that had been there for several days, and other obstacles. Mostly homeowners are the ones that clean up the beach.
Meaning the public is a hot mess. And by the way, another slice of this issue of public access, you know, we talked last hour about the lifeguards and public safety. Well, another part of this is if you're going to have the public access to those easement areas that we believe, you know, seem likely to exist, what about cleaning up after the public? Because we know there's an immense amount of effort that goes into making sure that Pensacola Beach stays clean because people are, what's the word I want? Filthy animals, right? Are you going to put those same resources into keeping Perdido Key beaches that are public access for that 75-foot easement? Are you going to put effort into keeping them clean? We'll get back to this conversation in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And I hear both sides. I'm sure you do, too. East Bay Boulevard, Navarre, closed just south of Coppell, part of the ongoing drainage improvement project. That is through the end of the month. And that's all we're seeing right now. 3 Mile Bridge not showing any delays. 98 clear from Navarre into Gulf Breeze into Pensacola. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to the conversation about the limitation or the restriction on putting, you know, no trespassing signs out on Perdido Key and the basically people's backyards, beach yards. Commissioner Jeff Burgage, who's, I think, at this point had enough of the Perdido Key folks who, you know, he feels like are interfering with public access and, you know, making, you know, the things he wants to accomplish hard on Perdido Key.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask Mr. Farah a question.
Yes, sir.
You're on 14241 Perdido Key Drive. La Riva, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you aware that there's a 75-foot easement for public beach access in front of your property?
Sir, that has not been determined yet, and I understand that title searches are still going on.
No, I believe that you're incorrect. We have the original deeds.
I understand that, but we do have our people looking at it.
Well, I mean, they're welcome to look at it, but every...
You know, there's other issues.
64, excuse me, I just want to ask you a question.
And by the way, I think, have merit, right? I think that it looks likely that Jeff Burgage is right, but I'm with Brad in the sense of, but this is a massive brand new revelation. Give us a minute to do some research. Give yourself a minute to do some research, not just some, but a lot, to make sure that there isn't some kind of legal ruling, question, or subsequent change that we're not aware of that maybe restricted that easement or something. You know, again, just you want to make sure before you just publicly announce, hey, everybody, go down to the beach. It's all good. It's all yours. I know you thought it was somebody's backyard, but it's not actually their backyard. You know, okay, let's just a minute for caution here does make sense. But this is the more entertaining portion.
64 of those properties, including La Riva, have 75-foot for perpetual public beach access. Were you aware of that?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm going to help make everyone aware of it.
Oh. Well.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, so you're calling war, right? Okay.
Well, there. You're calling war. I mean, kinda.
I'm not saying it like that, but isn't that one of his constituents?
Oh, yeah.
Like it would be, right?
Right. Well, now after the redistricting that he orchestrated.
Right, sure,
yeah,
sure.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So, which
Jeff,
it's not,
dude.
It's not all that uncommon for constituents to be angry at their elected officials, but
no,
still,
I know, but
yeah, I mean, clearly you have to assume that the owners of at least this portion of the beach on Perdido Key are, the probably words I can't say on the air at Jeff Burgage, right? I mean, clearly. And so from their perspective, yeah, it's war. From his perspective, well, they've already been waging war against public access for all of these years, and not just in this portion of the sand, but some other portions of sand to the west as well. So it's been adversarial already, I think, is kind of how Jeff Burgage might say it. 619 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, if you're thinking about getting a vehicle, I recommend Frontier Motors. And, you know, part of it is, you know, obviously great cars, great people, good prices, all that. I mean, what they specialize in is cars that are a year or two or three old and they've got, you know, low miles and great condition. Only A-quality cars is what they really sell. But also because they kind of fit and, like, money behavior lifestyle kind of choices that Dave Ramsey recommends and I recommend. And one of the big ones is that when you're buying a vehicle, you know, buy one that's a year or two old, then you get basically almost new without having to pay the new price, but then drive it until the wheels fall off, get your all your value out of that car, you know, suck it dry, and then, you know, buy another one like that. So go to Frontier today and then go to Frontier again in like 15 years, which is how I do. Like I drove a Honda Accord to 330,000 miles, actually. We had a Caravan that we replaced with the Odyssey we bought at Frontier that was almost 200, I think, somewhere in that vicinity. 15 years we drove that car. So that's how we do, and that's why we like Frontier, because they specialize in the kind of vehicles that make sense to me, you know, financially. Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you curious about marijuana? Florida A&M University established the Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, also known as MARI, to educate the public about medical marijuana use, as well as the detrimental health and social impacts of unlawful marijuana use on local communities. Find out more at mmeri.famu.edu.
Heart failure, carpal tunnel syndrome, shortness of breath, stomach issues, lower back pain. How does it all add up? If you have heart failure and any of those seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, it's time to talk with your cardiologist and get the full picture. They may add up to transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. ATTR-CM is a rare and underdiagnosed disease. Recognize the signs and discuss them with your doctor soon. Learn more at connectwithyourheart.com. That's connectwithyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Make my wish right. I wish I were big.
Good morning, 6:23 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. We had a couple of texts in on this topic of the beach. Somebody says, wow, it must be so hard for them to have beachfront property. No, I get the snarkiness. I mean, I get it because they have something that you dream about having. But at the same time, they did buy it, and they bought it with certain expectations. Those expectations may be wrong. Okay. But, you know, you buy a thing thinking that you're going to own a certain portion of it and control access to it. And on the one hand, I get that the people coming by and leaving trash and trespassing on your property will drive you crazy. Just kind of like, you know, if you happen to live at the house that's at the front of your street off of the main thoroughfare and people turn around your driveway all the time. Yes. You know, some people wouldn't care. Some people, they'd want to, you know, buy a rocket launcher. You know, and so I, you know, that's just kind of how it is. Somebody else says, let's see. I understand the frustration from the homeowners, but did they buy something that should never have been sold to them? Yep. I mean, maybe. And you have, by the way, two different statuses. Like some of the other land out on Perdido Key was, as Jeff Bergosh always says, from Calvin Coolidge without a permanent easement. So, you know, they are different, right? They are different. 437-1620. Yeah, somebody else says, but they do love the tax dollars they leave behind. The thing that makes you strong also is your weakness. Yeah, I don't know about that on Perdido. I guess for the condo. Yeah, I guess that's true. The vacationers, you know, that's fair. That's
and
fair.
Lillian's Pizza.
That's right.
You got
25 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And taking a look, we're not showing any slowdowns or delays. This is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get the job done, small enough to care. 250-3756 for no hassle estimate. East Bay Boulevard, Navarre, off 98. Closed. This is south of Copple Drive, part of the ongoing drainage improvement project going on through the end of the month. 437-6. 1620, if you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne now in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Title 42 is officially ending at midnight tonight. Border towns in Texas preparing for an overflow of migrants, a situation that emergency management there says will impact a lot of people who live there.
These shelters are currently being used by our community. Summer's about to start, and they have a lot of programs. So we do understand if we use a shelter, we're going to use those resources, and we're going to have to use them somewhere else.
And Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez says cartels are lying to the immigrants, saying that without Title 42, they'll just be allowed to cross and stay in the United States. Right now, an estimated 150,000 people in Mexico are getting ready to head towards the border. There's reports of an explosion today in Milan. Several vehicles are on fire right now in the Italian city, and footage online showing a big plume of smoke and firefighters at the scene. Unconfirmed reports that a parked van exploded. And the results of a new clinical trial are showing that a wearable patch could potentially prevent allergic reactions in toddlers with peanut allergies. This trial involved 200 kids between the ages of 1 and 3 with peanut allergies and found that after wearing the patch for a year, 67% of them were able to tolerate a small amount of peanut protein.
Oh, so it's not just like wear it to be safe right now. It's wear it and over time your body becomes able to. Wow. Interesting.
That would be a big development.
Absolutely. Wow, that's fascinating. All right, David. I had misunderstood the way that story worked. That's great news. Thanks so much for the update. 627, News Radio 92.3. Governor DeSantis, speaking of immigration, signed, not that one, but was had signed some union restrictions into law, SB 256. He also signed immigration stuff, but that wasn't the one I meant to talk about, into law in Miami. And there's a whole bunch, like many of these bills, there's like a bunch of dimensions to it. But one is that it prevents dues from being deducted from workers' paychecks. So union members basically have to write a check, you know, have to pay a bill to the union instead of having it deducted like your Social Security being deducted.
I thought it was like that anyway.
No, well, no, apparently not.
I guess it depends on the union.
Yeah, again, also apparently so. It requires gauging how many eligible employees are dues paying union members, and if it's fewer than 60% of the eligible ones in the shop, then unions have to be recertified as bargaining agents, like if it's a low participation area. Public employers can challenge union applications to renew registrations as bargaining agents if they think the applications are inaccurate. It requires to have audited financial statements for the unions. Ooh, you might think, that's the one you don't want. Unions representing law enforcement officers, correctional officers, and firefighters are exempt from the new requirements. And as I recall, there's also a portion of this that requires a statement about Florida being a right-to-work state, that there's you have to be notified. There's a mandatory notice that has to go in to tell, I guess, new hires or maybe even ongoing hires, but certainly new hires, that they are not obligated to join the union. So there have been lawsuits filed. Okay, lawsuits have been filed. There's actually a lawsuit been filed in state court and saying that this violates state law, and also a lawsuit filed in federal court saying that this violates the U.S. Constitution. And as somebody who generally doesn't support unions, I like a law that's doing the kinds of things that are being done here, but I also recognize that there are some significant challenges to getting this law to survive the legal scrutiny because, for example, if you already have a collective bargaining agreement in place that includes the provision about the money being withdrawn from workers' paychecks, which I find abhorrent, okay, I don't think that should be there, but if that is part of your collective bargaining agreement, you now have a contract between the employer and the union and the employees, and if the state comes in and changes the terms of that contract, well, the state doesn't have the authority to change a contract between private entities like that, is one argument, okay? Another argument they're using is a First Amendment argument, saying that the disclosure mandatory reporting language about you don't have to join the union is a First Amendment violation because you can't coerce a private entity like a union to say something, even if it's a true thing that they don't want to say. So it's going to be interesting to see legally where this challenge against this law goes. Again, even though I am in support of it philosophically. Oh, and also that it's disparate treatment, because all of the unions are on one side, but the firefighters and the law enforcement are on the other side. Disparate treatment are on equal treatment.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Asylum restrictions put in place because of the COVID-19 pandemic expire tonight. President Biden says he asked Congress for more Border Patrol money.
We've had chaos at the border for a number of years.
30% chance of rain with a high near 82. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 70. We're going to have some sunshine for your Saturday with a 20% chance of rain and a high near 84. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it's 74, partly cloudy in Pensacola. 75 in Gulf Breeze and 72 in Milton. Your next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with your Money Now. Coca-Cola's testing technology in Europe that turns hard-to-recycle plastic into new bottles as part of its effort to meet its sustainability goals. The company is funding a startup in the Netherlands that will produce food-grade recycled plastic from plastics that usually get sent to landfills or are incinerated. Current supplies of recycled plastic are costly and limited, which is keeping companies hooked on abundant and cheaper oil as a key ingredient in the production of packaging. Coca-Cola is aiming to boost the proportion of recycled materials that make up its packaging to 50% by 2030. JetBlue has announced the launch of its new TrueBlue loyalty program, which is tailored to benefit customers who fly less often but want to rise up the ranks of the company's frequent flyer program. The low-cost carrier overhauling its elite Mosaic loyalty system into four levels. On Wall Street, futures are little changed this morning after stock closed mixed yesterday. That's your Money Now.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlique helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and garlique is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Let's be honest, nobody likes taxes, but they are necessary to maintain roads, support schools, and fund public services. Wouldn't it be great if someone else paid our taxes for us? In Escambia County, they do. The millions who visit here spend over $1 billion each year. The taxes they pay lower the tax burden for locals. Visitor spending supports over 22,000 jobs, providing $638 million in local wages. Sure, being a tourism destination means we might have to wait a little longer for a restaurant table or park a little farther to get to our favorite shops. But it's a small price to pay when you consider the contributions those temporary visitors make to our permanent slice of paradise. So keep on welcoming visitors with our famous Southern hospitality and invite your friends and family to visit, because tourism works for all residents and businesses in Escambia County. This message brought to you by Visit Pensacola.
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa is here to help take the pressure off of you finding the perfect Mother's Day gift this year. Show the mom in your life how much she means to you with the gift of renewal and relaxation. Stillwater's offers a variety of spa treatments, including facials, massages, and more. Mother's Day gift certificates can be purchased online at stillwatersmedspa.com or in person at the spa located in downtown Pensacola. Stillwater's Medical Spa, Pensacola's world-class luxury spa.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 640 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Wes Moreno is the Escambia County Administrator, and he joins us by phone right now. Wes, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Great to have you. And I know one of the things you're going to enjoy about today is that in about 2.5 hours, you will not have to attend the Committee of the Whole meeting because it's canceled again, which gives you a little bit more space in your day. I am curious, though. It seems like we are canceling these a lot and not really having the cows anymore. What's going on? Is this just a scheduling thing, or is there a reason?
No, most of it's a scheduling thing. It's hard to rope all five up for an elongated amount of time. So I know the last meeting, there was commissioners that had a scheduling conflict, especially with summer coming on, and even in the past, it's just been a lot of scheduling conflict. But I would say this too, I have an agenda item, the County Administrator's Report 3, which is discussion. So what I've opted to do, and if we're not going to have the committee hold, if there's not an issue that a board member wants to talk about or something we were going to talk about at a committee of the whole, I will add it to my discussion agenda, and we can take it on at that point in time. So I don't personally feel like we're losing any opportunity for the commissioners to discuss a topic, because I can put it on that agenda item and they can have a robust conversation there. In my opinion, having been on the other side of it, it frees up a lot of staff time. You get a lot of staff sitting in those meetings because you never know what's going to come up. So they feel like they have to be there just in case. And so they're sitting there, and I know they have a lot of work to do other than just be sitting in the boardroom. So we're trying to be two things. I guess we're trying to be a little more efficient from my end standpoint. There has been some scheduling conflicts, quite a few.
Yeah, no, that makes sense from a staff use perspective. I appreciate that. Another kind of a smaller note, but just a question I have is the Escambia County EMS has this really, really great app called Pulse Point, where you can see fire response, EMS response. There's a map, there's times. It's all, great for information's sake from our perspective for tracking incidents. It's been down for like a week, and it's got a note, we're aware of the issue. Do you know anything about what's going on here or when we can expect that to be back up and active?
Yeah, I know it's been down. I'm not sure about the time frame to come back up. I'll have to get with our IT folks, and I'll get with Eric Gilmore and see if he's got an update status for us.
Okay.
But, yeah, you're right. It is a great app. And I noticed I've been getting a lot more text messages like we had the fire the other day, or there's a crash, the school bus crash the other morning. I've been getting some text messages. Now I'm going to talk to Eric and see if that's something that he can push out a little more broadly, if you will.
Okay, sort of like, since we don't have this, maybe we can have an alert system of some kind that people can subscribe to?
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like Nixle for, the traffic in Gulf Breeze or whatever. That makes sense.
Yeah.
OLF-8, we know this is a big ongoing thing. Any updates since the commissioner meeting where they gave you the instruction of, hey, we'd like to hold back 250 acres for, non-residential development if we can in the contract. Any news on this front?
Yeah, so there's, I talked to a gentleman yesterday afternoon with Horton, and he, we've talked about their draft contract that they sent to us, and we're working feverishly on a response to that draft, and we look forward to probably presenting that to them next week. There's also, in lieu of holding out the 250 acres, there's been some discussions maybe with some other partners that had previously come to the table for the light industrial portion. And so we've been having a few conversations in that regard and seeing how that plays out. We've been talking about another possible triumph ask for maybe Frank Reeder Road, since we own that, and as far as making that a heavy axle load type of roadway, a boulevard, if you will.
Okay, so widening and thickening both?
Yeah, the subgrade, the base, and asphalt, sidewalks and such. Yeah, there's a lot of activity going on around OLF 8. There's a lot of discussions still going around OLF 8. And we're tracking as fast as we can, as hard as we can. And we'll see, you know, it'll be interesting to see how things really end up in the end, what we bring to
them. I think you and I have talked about this before, but forgive me if we haven't. Has there been any conversation about, look, this is what we want to do eventually, but right now it's a really nice big park. Is there any way that the public would be able to, you know, fly kites and shoot rockets and, you know, play baseball and, you know, do the kind of stuff that the people would like to do on a big grassy knoll?
We've not had that discussion. We have not had that discussion. So it may be something we can have, but we've not had it as of yet.
Okay. I mean, because, you know, look, you know, might be we start breaking ground next year, might be 5 years. And, you know, I'd hate to see I hate to see something that could be used for stuff not be used for anything at all. Hang on for me for just a second, Wes. We're talking to Wes Moreno, the Escambia County Administrator. Let's get traffic on the fives from Candy.
All right, this brought to you by Summit Racing. Summit Racing keeps your ride, road trip ready with millions of in-stock parts from all the best brands. Summer travel starts at summitracing.com. Everything you need for anything you drive. Not showing any slowdowns or delays right now. It looks like base traffic is over the bridge, so I guess that's the one slowdown. And, of course, Navarre watching East Bay Boulevard, which is closed south of Coppell, working on the drainage improvement project. That's for the rest of the month. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Wes Moreno, the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, do we have any more, I don't know, certainty resolution about the 75-foot access for the public on Perdido Key, or is that still kind of in the research phase to confirm or disconfirm?
Yeah, we're still in some of the research phase. As it stands now, it's as it was, you know, inside the state park, to the, you know, back to the east, yes, right to the west, no. There has been some activity based on the board's vote as far as the signage. I think some of the signage that was out from some of the condos has been removed. However, what they've done now is string some rope, if you will. The posts are still in place, and they've strung some rope between the posts. And so code enforcement's been out there. They've been having discussions and saying, hey, and, you know, that still doesn't adhere to the conservation plan, and that's not going to be allowable. So this morning or today, code enforcement will be back out, and if the ropes have not been removed, we'll start issuing citations.
Interesting. So
it's going to be an ongoing saga, I have a feeling.
Yeah, so people who had put up signposts and have now taken down the signs because of the vote to restrict to one per boundary line have instead put up rope, which is maybe not technically a sign, but not exactly what we had in mind.
Right.
And so, interesting. So, citations are going to be issued today, you say, over that. The there's also been some like informational signs put up with county logos on them, and instructing the public that they can walk on the wet sand, but that it shows a map of like all the way to the water as a property boundary. Do you know anything about that? Are those signs from the county? Because some people had said they didn't even think they were legitimate signs, but I assume they're county signs.
If it's got our logo, I would have to guess they are our signs, but I have not heard that we placed any signs like that out. But again, I'll give a code enforcement and verify.
Okay, yeah, just while
they're
also...
And if they're not, we'll remove them.
Yeah, while they're also doing the other thing, you know, I'm sure it's easy to put eyeballs on these. I do have just a couple of things I've been thinking about with the Perdido Key stuff. If it turns out we have 75 feet, obviously, you know, in the conversation that came up was about placing the towers on 2 and 3 and then patrolling, and then, mm-hmm. Well, what do you do if they need to be above 75 feet for the visual perspective? And then, of course, hiring guards and all that. I know you're well aware of those. One thing that occurred to me is what makes Pensacola Beach work is that the guards have statutory authority to tell people what to do and to get out of the water and to red flag enforce. As I read the statute, because it's not owned by the county, even though it is an easement, it's not owned by the county, I don't think we have the same statutory authority. So you guys may want to look at whether that needs to be tweaked in order to grant guards the enforcement powers that they would need like they have out on the other beach. The other question or kind of observation is, We do cleanup, of course, on Pensacola Beach. And if the public is going to be encouraged or allowed or whatever to go out on, you know, Perdido Key, might have to think about the sanitation aspects of cleaning up after them. I mean, have you guys been thinking about those possibilities, those concerns?
No, we haven't. We haven't had that discussion. You know, you're right, Pensacola Beach is a whole different scenario.
Right.
Out there in Perdido Key, you know, if we get lifeguard stands, it'd just be, like you said, in those particular accesses. But in between the accesses, I would tend to agree. If we're going to put lifeguards out there, they need to have some sort of authority.
Right.
As far as removal of trash, I would say even on Pensacola Beach, most of your trash is going to be beyond 75 feet from the water. It's going to be up in the big sand. So we're certainly not equipped to send crews out there removing trash. I would say that would probably remain status quo. But there's just a lot of challenges with that. I think if we get lifeguards out there, that would be a huge step in the right direction. But they would absolutely have to have some authority to, when you say get out of the water, get out of the water.
Right.
And then I tell you, lifeguards, they cover a wide range out there on the beach and the sand. It's not just lifeguarding, if you will. There's a lot of people walk up that lifeguard with a lot of different problems or issues, and whether it be enforcement issues, or I've seen them where, hey, my buddy's had a little bit too much to drink, and you come down and attend to him, and so they call in ambulances, and it's just a whole wide array of things that they get hit with in a day.
Most definitely.
And they stay awful busy. So they would have to have some authority.
What is your assessment, which I know you might not be able to give entirely, but is it your assessment that if we did try to staff up lifeguards on Perdido Key, that the applicant pool, especially on that side of town, is available? Like, how much of a challenge from a staffing perspective would that be? You know, easy, hard, not quite sure?
It would be a little bit, definitely a challenge, because, I mean, it's a challenge for us right now to fully staff up water safety as it exists today on Pensacola Beach.
Yeah.
You know, we're dealing with high school kids and young college kids, and of course, it's seasonal. But yeah, it's a challenge for us to staff up what we have existing, and we raised pay last year and maybe year before last to help with that, and it's still kind of been a challenge. But yeah, if that's what we decide to do, we'd have to me and Eric and Dave Greenwood, we'd have to figure it out, but we would actually make it happen if that's what the direction is.
For sure, and supervisors, right? I mean, because you probably don't want them, mm-hmm. on that separate part of, the oversight, you probably want to have that as well. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. By the way, there's a career fair for the county. There's all kinds of jobs available. Career fair coming up on the 18th. That's a week from today at the Bay Center from 9 to 2. So it'll be a big event. If you want to find a job or know somebody who needs a job, please bring them out to that. It'll be a great event. Wes, as always, man, thanks for keeping us informed, and thanks for doing the stuff you do to make the county run. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. We'll see you now.
You bet. 652 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech, a professional air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
April showers bring May savings at Beret Jewelers. We're ringing in spring with special deals on your shining favorites during Beret's Blooming Blowout Sale. Save up to 70% on select pieces May 5th through May 31st. From top designers to beautiful bridal jewelry, you'll find something to love.
So hurry into shop and save up to 70% off during the spring sale of the season. All month long at Parade Jewelers.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Stream online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
National average for a gallon of gas, 353. Florida average is 351. Mississippi has 299.9. California has 481. In Navarre, it's 308 east of the Walmart, same west of the Walmart. Tiger Point, 306 at the Murphy at the foot of the Garrison Point Bridge. 319 at the Exxon Improper. 299 at the Raceway in Milton, same at the Pea Ridge Murphy. 309 if you wait until the Raceway. No, is that the Raceway or the Circle K? I was getting backwards. It's the Raceway, second station going through Pace. If you're on 9 Mile this morning at the Walmart, it's 293. 303 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And coming in from the southwest side, looks like your best price is at the Murphy on Navy at 305. 656 Candy's got traffic for you.
All right, not showing any slowdowns or delays except for the front gate of the base. It's past the Shell station now. It's all base traffic is over the bridge. East Bay Boulevard, Navarre, closed south of Copple Drive as they work on the drainage improvement project. It's going on through the end of the month. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, we've got an update on that explosion in Milan today. Apparently, one person was injured. The fire brigade there says several vehicles burst into flames. Apparently, a van that was carrying oxygen gas cylinders is what exploded. So far, no deaths have been reported, but nearby buildings evacuated. Today, marking the end of the federal COVID-19 public health emergency declaration, the CDC says after today, its authorization to collect certain types of public health data expires. The declaration was authorized in response to the pandemic, of course, and a new statement from the CDC saying COVID vaccines will remain available. And Disney CEO Bob Iger says he's wondering if they should keep investing in Florida. Iger accusing Governor DeSantis of weaponizing the state government to punish Disney for its stance on the parental rights and education law yesterday during its quarterly investor call, and asked whether Florida wants Disney to invest more or not.
All right. Thanks so much for the update, David. So COVID's officially over. Now I can go back to, you know, mouth kissing strangers at the Walmart, right?
Like, and I can start eating bats again.
There you go.
From a wet market.
Yeah, but to be fair, you cook them first, right? No?
Well, now.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
but I don't have to.
If we learned anything from COVID.
Finally.
You know, yesterday, my son, is his birthday, and the day before, actually, and I just turned 17. I can't believe I was a 19 and a 17-year-old, but whatever. His activity he likes to do for his birthday is we go get ahi at Joe Patty's, and then we do home sushi.
Oh, that's nice. Because,
For like $50, you can gorge yourself on home sushi.
Absolutely.
Whereas if you go out to eat sushi for $50, you're like, that's it. But anyway,
right.
I was thinking about this yesterday because I think the previous time we'd been to Joe Patty's, it was still, you know, pandemic-esque, mm-hmm. you know, and nobody.
Oh, it was freaking me out.
Yeah, and nobody was wearing masks. Or, I mean, we were, but nobody else was. I'm like, okay, fine. But you go in yesterday, and it's not that busy when we happen to go.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I thought. I'm like, the last time I was here, and I'm just like breathing in the air. So, okay, you know, whatever.
No, I went in there with a pandemic because that's all we were doing mm-hmm. is just going in. Man, the great prices, and it's still, and he was there calling out numbers.
Yeah, Frank's the
Frank
best.
Patty, yeah.
He's the best. All right. So future news, real quick one here. Future will we have lifeguards at Perdido Key?
I hope so, just for the safety of
staffing and cost and all that. Yeah. But, I mean, certainly if it's going to be open to the public, we need to have the guards there. Will we have cleanup? will there be sanitation out there?
There should be. The homeowners are absolutely right.
Yeah, if you're going to tell people to go out on the beach, you probably ought to have something to clean up after them. And OLFA, will it get open to the public in the meantime for public
use? So we can shoot fireworks?
Rockets. Yes, rockets.
At each other.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.